What is up, you guys? Welcome back to the Sunset Drive podcast for a brand new episode. I am Anthony Smith, and on this side of the internet, I like to have old and new friends from the entertainment industry come on, talk about their career, share some stories, share some laughs. So if that sounds like a sweet time to you, then you might want to keep listening. So today we have on the podcast someone who has been in acting for 22 years. And when you say 22 years, you expect somebody to be like 40. But Jeremy is only 24 from being a student body president to a 12-year-old with a magic dog to a ghost rock star and almost everything in between. Everyone, welcome to the podcast, Julian Phantoms, Jeremy Shada.
Hey. Glad to be out here. Thanks for having Mr. Anthony.
Thank you for being here. Are you kidding? Happy birthday too. It was your birthday yesterday.
Yes. Yeah, birthday yesterday, the big 24. I'm 1 year closer to being able to rent a car without the upcharge on, you know, being under 25 feet. So that's cool.
That is a thing. That is a thing. I forgot that's a thing. I just paid the extra fee. Went to Vancouver.
After 21, that's pretty much like the only special thing to look forward to is 25 when you don't get the higher price on rented cars.
It's not as exciting as 21, though. It's not like...
No, it's not anywhere near as exciting.
It's not nearly as close. But happy birthday. When I record an episode, like typically... I've never met the guest before, but we've met before. Physically, but we haven't met before. Did a quick FaceTime. I'm not sure if we can say why, but we did.
We did. We met over FaceTime. I mean, either way, we also have mutual friends at this point too.
So yeah. Jeremy and I have met, so that's why I'm super excited and not as nervous as I typically am making these episodes. So there's so much I want to talk to you about because I went on IMDb, which, by the way, cute baby picture on IMDb. I don't know if you know.
Dude, it's so weird. I'm trying to figure that out. I'm trying to get access to the account because someone else mentioned that to me and I was like, what? Probably 2 months ago, I thought I'd gotten access and I had like updated it to have like recent pictures and stuff. And then for whatever reason, it just, I think, took all those down and just reverted to like a random one that was on there. And it just so happened to be like a baby picture, basically, from when I was like 5 or 6. So I don't know what the deal is with that. I'm trying to get that figured out. It's so weird.
Hey, you were a cute baby, so I don't know. You got the jobs. I'm just saying. But yeah, there's so much you know, you've done throughout your career. But I noticed that you started acting at 2 years old, which is very, very young. But if you're from Idaho, when I hear like child actors, typically I think of like Texas kids or like LA kids. Like, how did your parents introduce you to acting? Because, you know, your brothers, Zach and Josh, also have dabbled into acting. Like, how did that come to be? That your parents were just like, yep, he has it.
I think we always kind of had a desire to do stuff in that realm. I mean, as a kid growing up watching like Star Wars or early superhero movies or like old Jurassic Park or whatever else, like we were just really big into classic movies and TV shows. And so I always loved that growing up. That's what I nerded out over. And we moved to LA from Idaho when I was about four or five, somewhere in there. And not long afterwards, I guess my older brother Zach just kind of realized that LA was the place where movies are made, where the industry is.
And so
he like asked my dad, like, Dad, I want to be an actor. My dad was like, oh my God, what does that even mean? Like, how do you go about doing that? He took him in. He like found an agency for commercial and theatrical, and he took him in. He got a meeting to meet with the agent. They said okay, which was, I mean, probably surprising to begin with. And then after they met with the agent, kind of did the whole rigmarole of whatever you do when you're meeting with an agent. They just kind of see your personality and your look, whatever. And they're like, okay, thanks for coming in. So he kind of thought that would be the end of it, like just heading home, being like, okay, well, outside of that, like, I don't know how to, you know, do any of this. So that was, we tried basically. Right. But on the way home from meeting the agent called and had my dad take Zach by an audition, and they weren't even signed with this agent at this point. And he was like, okay, so they drove over, went to the audition, Zach booked that audition, and that was his first job, which I think was like Charlie's Angels 2.
Ooh, kind of a nice
fun fact, trivia. After that, I saw him working in acting, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Like, yeah. You go on one audition and you book a job? Like, of course I want to do that too. And then, you know, lo and behold, 20 years later, obviously every audition you go out on, you do not book. And that was like this random kind of once in a million chance of something. And I started auditioning, and, you know, over the years, I've gone out on thousands of things that I haven't gotten, but started working, and occasionally you'll get something, and it's usually the right thing when you do get it. So
exactly. But you've done a lot of stuff. Hey, is that Jake or Finn? I keep forgetting.
This is Jake. This is Jake. Mr. Jake. He's sweetie.
He's joining the party. It's the first pet guest.
First pet guest. This is Mr. Jake.
Mr. Jake.
They hang out with me in the studio office when I'm doing stuff like this, because that way they won't bark at the lizards that are running around outside.
Right. All right. Well, that sounds perfect. All right. I have a thing that I want to do with you, because, like, I know for a fact from being friends with Tori that you and Care are the kings of game night, kings and queens of game night. You guys love a game night, and we sometimes play games on the podcast, but I was just like, okay, typically we do it at the end, but I was like, ah, let's do it like as an icebreaker.
Oh, I like that. That's spicy. Spice it up,
bit. All right, a little seasoning. All right, let's do this. So you're an amazing voice actor. Like, I didn't necessarily grow up with Adventure Time, but I went on TikTok once. I knew you were a great voice actor, but I was like, oh, he was younger. His voice changed. And then there's this video of you speaking British. My gosh, you don't even sound like Jeremy doing like a British voice. You just sound like a British person. Like, I don't know who that is, but I very much enjoyed it.
I'm trying to think. It was probably, if I'm remembering the voice correctly, it was probably like my kind of like, oh yeah, like go out with all my mates from like the club and like go have a drink and put on sweaters and kick back a little bit and try and do your stuff, Mr. Fiend.
That?
It's not just like, I don't know who that is based off of at this point. I mean, it's almost like a little bit of like kind of John Boyega, like Attack the Block a little bit, but not really. I don't even, it's like an amalgamation of probably like five or six different people. But I remember our vocal coach for the show, Maxwell, is British. He's very like very proper sounding. Yeah, he's awesome. But I did that voice for him, and he just started laughing. And he was like, I don't know exactly like where that's from. He was like, but I know that's like that's somebody. And
we
then
know that person.
He went to a wedding and met someone that sounded just like that. And he was like, I met you the other week. He was like, someone that had that exact accent.
You legitimately sound like somebody else. And so there is a game that a lot of voice actors do. I saw a lot of the voice actors from The Simpsons do, where the interviewer just shows them a random cartoon character, and they just come up with a random voice for him on the spot. So this is what we're going to do today. All right. Do you get text messages on your computer?
Yes, I should.
If so, that is what we're going to do. All right. Let me do this for a quick second. Let me send you the first picture. And you just come up with a voice for him on the spot. All right. Starting with this one. And I'm going to describe it for the people just listening, what cartoon character this is. So this is actually me as a cartoon. One of my favorite cartoonists, Sean L. Moore, illustrated it. But I've always
been
curious.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, he's the illustrator from the show Total Drama Island, which was a very big Cartoon Network show.
I was going to say, yeah, it definitely looks like that. That's so good.
Okay, so you see him on the sheet, you're at the audition, they're like, come up with the voice for this guy. What would Cartoon Anthony sound like?
Also I know your voice, so I can't go near that. But if I just saw that picture,
the cartoon,
I would probably think maybe like a little bit lower vocal register, but you can see clearly in the animation that it's like a more happy-go-lucky person. And so
probably somebody by kind of a year that's like kind of happy. Hey guys, this is my pet rabbit. His name is Rabby. I think he's pretty great.
I would probably go there. Or, I mean, there's sometimes like that's the obvious choice, but then sometimes it's like you go for something that's the opposite of what you initially think.
Yeah.
So maybe they're like a little bit more, like even though they're kind of a bigger guy, they have kind of a nasally more voice, and that makes them almost kind of antithetical to what you first expect. You know, don't judge a book by its cover type of person.
Yes.
So either of those work.
I love the first voice so much because it's so far from my voice, but at the same time, I totally see it. I can totally see that.
The funny thing is, it definitely looks like you, but I also have a friend, Tommy, that it looks so much like as well in real life, and that's closer to like what Tommy's actual voice is, which is why it makes me laugh.
Well, Tommy, wherever you are, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Tommy, sweet.
Yes, all right. Yeah, on to the next one. This is a character inspired by the video game Among Us. It's illustrated by Zonatoon on Instagram, and he looks like a little arrogant little beach dude.
He does. He's a little broody, you know. He's got some like angst going on, some teen angst. Sure.
All right. What would this little guy sound like to you?
Well, I would probably say he'd sound something like this. You know, he's not exactly going to be happy about most things. Anything that someone is positive about, he's going to be negative about. Because ultimately, you just don't know. You're just dumb. You're a sheep. You follow what other people think instead of making your own opinions. That's what I would expect for him.
This is the best game ever. All right, let's move on to the... This is my favorite one because to me, he looks like an edgy TikToker. This one is
TikToker.
like you'll see him, you'll be like, I know exactly what you mean. This one is illustrated by Sophie McDowell.
I love the ridiculously oversized puffer jacket that's on top of a hoodie. It's so unnecessary. I love that. That's the classic. Like,
yeah, but we know exactly this kid. We know who this kid is, even though I don't have a name for him.
Oh, yeah. There's like 7 or 8 people that this kid is.
Literally.
That's so funny.
You could play him, though. You look like him. Kind of.
My hair's growing out a little bit. I'm getting closer to it. That's funny. he'd be like, Gara, like, I was thinking about you the other day, and I was like, dang. I think we could be something, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, you know, because like my homies, you know, like he's somebody who can't really finish sentences very well, you know. He just kind of rambles on, but just kind of does it like flirty and kind of down, like he's always got like that little eye thing going on, you know. Like, hey, you can come like do like a TikTok with me, you know. Like, we'll just blow up, you know. Just kind of like brooding, staring at the camera, and just like he's an e-boy. He's just an anime.
He's an
e-boy for sure.
He's an e-boy. I don't know why I haven't done this sooner. This is the best game ever. All right. Moving on to the next cartoon character. I don't actually remember this one is a little boy. He's actually a modern version of Aang from Avatar. So let's see.
One of my favorite characters of all time, by the way. I love Aang. He's so awesome.
I mean,
The Last Airbender, Legend of Korra, that whole world is just one of my favorites. As a kid, that was one of my favorite shows.
It's a little... I mean, this one's modernized, though. You probably know the voice of the original character
and a hoodie.
Very well. This one has
he's
hair.
He's got a skateboard, hoodie, and Converse. He's very modern.
Very modern Aang, also illustrated by Sophie Gallo. How would you voice this guy?
Honestly, the thing about this specific type of character is if I saw this... Usually, like, this would be what I would basically just use my natural voice for, because there's not, like, there's not usually that huge quality where it's like, oh, that's a very specific kind of, there's a more characteristic to it. Yeah, usually for this type of role, if I saw this, I would just do a more boyish, energetic version of my normal voice, probably a little bit younger than my actual normal speaking voice now, because... I'm not 2 years old. This would probably sound close to being like a Finn type voice, you know.
Okay, can I give you
hey,
like
Momo, let's go, you know?
Oh, no, go ahead. I talked over you.
Yeah, no, he'd be like somewhere in the realm of like, hey, come on, this is my pet Momo. He's pretty cute. You know, he flies, pretty awesome. Like, that would be it's just my kind of, realistically, that would just end up being my Finn voice, basically, because it's like a natural sounding voice. You're not putting on something very charactery, and usually for that type of stuff, that's what they'll want. So that's what I would normally do for this. The other ones are definitely more charactery.
True.
But that guy, fun fact, if you want to get into voice acting, there's some that'll be more cartoony and, you know, charactery, and there's sometimes where you just get ones and they really want someone that just has a natural, genuine sounding voice. And so I've done both, but But he would be the latter of the two. It'd be more the natural, genuine sounding voice.
I like that. I was about to say, like, oh, like, you know how sometimes directors will be like, give him a lisp. Just try a lisp. Let's see how it sounds.
Yeah. Just a little, this is my pet Momo. Just a little bit of a lisp.
Oh, that's adorable. Either.
Have you ever met?
That's adorable.
Just a, yeah. I've only done like one that way, hardcore one time. It's fun. It's those are hard because there's a fine line between being like, oh, they have a little bit of a lift, and then like being like too overdone,
over exaggerated,
to where it just feels over exaggerated and like not real. It's a hard thing. Like, save the cloth. I can't even do Sid.
Oh wait, that was so cool.
Carolyn, ironically, is not good at voice acting at all, but the one thing that she can do better than me is she has a better Shizislash impression than I do. It's actually, she's a pretty good one.
See, put that on the resume. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Let's move to like a non-human creature, and then we have two last ones that I want to run by you. Okay. So, this would be the one on the right. The big broody, I don't know what that is, a lion demon man.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's like kind of a lion with some wildebeest horns going out of it.
Yeah,
but a little bit darker. He'd probably be like,
oh, all right, I know people think that I'm very scary, but ultimately I'm like a Sour Patch Kid. I'm a little bit more bitter on the outside, but once you get to know me, I'm very sweet and sensitive on the inside. Oh, Finn, stop making out with my face.
Finn is like,
my dog is just trying to make out with me right now.
That was good.
That was good.
I didn't know you could go that
way. I'm normally very happy, but if you really piss me off, I'll come after you.
You know, that's just, you go into the, oh my God, Finn.
Your dogs are just like, who is this?
He's attacking me. He's like, who is this?
Who is
Daddy,
this?
Why are you making that weird voice? Anyway.
I have two last ones that I think the fans will enjoy a lot. All right, let's go with this guy. Hold on. If iCloud will... All right, this one.
Oh, this one's good. Yeah, this guy, I definitely already know this guy sounds like. Boys, when we talk to Julie, you know, we can't just do what we've been doing before, you know, like when people hear our music, like they feel us, you know, and I feel them, and we feel each other, and we play, not just for tips, Alex, we play music for people.
It reminds me of, it's not about the money, it's about the music, kind of.
It's not about the money, Alex, it's about the music. I love Charlie so much. I do that to take him down a notch at times just because it's fun, but like, he has, Charlie's accent is so funny because it's like, it sounds like he's like almost like Boston, like New York, kind of like very East Coast.
Yeah.
But he also is from New Brunswick, so there's like a little bit of Canadian in there. But like, it's just, if you didn't know the accent, you'd be like, where is this kid from?
my parents guessed that he was from New York. I live in Quebec, which is right next to New Brunswick, and I was raised in French.
Right.
So my friends were just like, but like, actually Tori was just like, you don't sound like Charlie does, but you guys are just like right next to one another, the same province, French too, but he's like Acadien, like it's like a different type of, but he talks at the tip of his mouth. I don't know how to explain it, but so
yeah, but he, yeah, everything's like Julie, like very up here, like it's so funny.
Smoldering. I like that.
Smoldering.
Like yeah that.
And he's got attitude.
All right, let's move on to our main man, Alex.
Oh no!
How would
Alex
sound?
Alex sound.
Okay, here we go.
Alex, Mr. Owen Joyner, for those who don't know, OPJ, Owen Patrick
OPJ.
He's just his is. I don't think his vocal quality is super specific. It's just like low, kind of sarcastic, and it would be like. Really? Really, you guys? Or like, I don't really think that's what they were saying. How am I the emotional? I'm not changing my voice at all because his voice doesn't have like a super specific quality to it.
Yeah.
It's more just his connotation.
The vocal pattern.
Well,
the vocal
pattern. I wish I couldn't see you. Oh, gosh. Well, at least one of us is thinking. His is just sarcastic. He's just sarcastic. It's just a low, dry sarcasm. My favorite part about Owen is, like, especially in real life, and it's in his character too, but mostly more so in real life, he has such a dry sarcasm that I've been in situations where he said something, like a joke, sarcastically.
Right.
But you can't, like, if you really don't know him, you couldn't tell. And so I know people have been, like, put off at times. Mm. And then, like, they'll walk away and he'll start, like, being like, oh, crap. I don't think they realize I was joking and get, like, embarrassed about it. And it makes me laugh so hard. Because I'm like, I was like, dude, you played it too dry.
But
there was not even a hint.
You're incredible because I could tell that was Owen. Like, you would have not told me who that was. I could have guessed that was Owen. And you have the Charlie, like, I don't know, man. You're talented as hell. That's all I'm saying. But now that we're ending on Julie, we have to stop the game somehow. You know, we gotta fall back on something else.
Final person.
So on Julie and the Phantoms, you play Reggie, and I would say he's like a flirty, fun-loving, maybe a little dim-witted character.
I would say very dim-witted, but in the most lovable way. You most know, he's like a golden retriever in human form. He's a puppy dog.
A puppy dog. Yeah. But my question is, so you met Carolyn through Carson, I believe, right?
That is correct. Yeah. Through her brother Carson. Technically, well, kind of other mutual friends, but I met Carson first, and then he kind of introduced me to Carolyn.
Right. Did you meet Carolyn at church, or did you meet her outside of church?
I technically first met her in church for, like, I want to say 5 seconds. It was basically like a hello, nice to meet you. Then, like, I was on my way out, so there wasn't, like, a huge conversation. It wasn't until we had a game night, probably 2 months later, that I actually, like, talked to her and, like, really met her. But I think technically first introduced there for, like, 5 seconds.
All right, well, I'm going somewhere with this. Would Carolyn say that you're a good flirt? And if you are, how do you flirt at church? Like, I would not know how to do that.
I don't think I'm a good flirt by any means. I think my flirting strategy is basically just making fun of myself and being a doof and hopefully seeming adorkable, because otherwise, I'm not smooth at all. I can't pull it off. And honestly, if I tried to be, people would just laugh at me and I would also get embarrassed and probably just laugh at myself. Like, I'm not using cheesy pickup lines. You know, there's no good one-liners. I'm not being like, hey girl, you know, is your daddy a baker because you got nice buns? Like, there's no, that's never going to happen for me. You know? It wouldn't work. It's not my style. So I think being dorky and making fun of myself was how I won her over.
I love that, because I was just like, okay, how do you flirt at church? I never heard of that. But now that makes more sense. You met her at game night after, and you two are game night kings and queens. I've heard you're very competitive. So see, like, it's just like a match made in heaven. Match made in heaven.
Oh, 100%. Game night. We play Codenames is one of our favorite games. If you haven't played it.
Yeah.
It's so fun. I love Codenames. It's all Codenames is fun because you also get to see different people's different mental processes. Like, what you associate with certain things is so different than what other people associate. And you're like, how the heck did you end up there?
It can be so frustrating, though. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. I can genuinely get frustrated. Like, how do you not get that? Like, I don't know. But that's what makes game night fun. But you shot Julie and the Phantoms over in Vancouver, which is a beautiful city. But I was thinking about the timeline, and I was like, so you were wedding planning, rehearsing, acting, hanging out with the guys, like getting some downtime, all at the same time, during the same time. How was it juggling? What did your schedule look like? I am in awe.
It was, I mean, fun for sure, but, like, kind of stressful. I mean, it's just one of those things where you just have to make it work, you know? Right. You're just kind of getting through it and kind of winging it, and just any free time you have, you're putting towards other things. Like, we literally, during Phantoms, it was, like, rehearsals and shooting and all that stuff, and that was, like, already an around-the-clock job. We'd be basically shooting 5 or 6 days a week and then have rehearsals on whatever our off days was, basically.
Right.
And you're working around the clock. And then trying to do wedding planning. Luckily, I didn't do much of it myself, honestly. It's not really my department. I had to help with the things I needed to help with, but, like, the majority of that is not really my department, and I didn't have the hugest preferences on things. It was like, hey, what you want? Like, I defer to you.
Right.
Right. And, but the thing that was stressful is, you know, still having a long distance relationship with your fiance, planning your wedding while doing that. So you're trying to make sure you're still spending time with them, FaceTiming and, trying to keep it as normal as possible. And then we were buying a house at the same time. That was the stressful part for me, is I pretty much handled all of that. Trying to get like documents together for like your mortgage lender and like all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't have any of my documents physically. Like I'm trying to find stuff through my email and like,
That was
so stressful. And like you get emails where it's like, oh, we need this in ASAP, like in the next 5 hours. And you're like, I'm shooting. Like I don't even have time to do this. So like, that was hard. I was glad when that part of it was done. Then the rest of shooting was so much easier because I wasn't stressing out about buying a home. We bought the house like while I was shooting. Like I was working one day, and so I had to like sign over like power of attorney to Carolyn to like do it all in person because I wasn't there.
Right.
And so she's like sending me text updates. Like between takes, I have my phone in my jacket pocket, and it's like if we had like a 20-second cut, I'm like just texting really quick. I'll put it back in.
Yeah.
And scene, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, sounds stressful. I would not want to do it, but it paid off because now you got this beautiful home. Beautiful content you guys are making on YouTube, which I actually really like that you guys are going down the YouTube route because
it's fun.
It's really fun. And Mr. Student Body President, you had a lot of YouTubers on that show. Like you, sure. I don't like
totally.
So I'm like, I love that you're now going back to your YouTube roots because you have a lot of the cast members from that community. Also doing
totally.
That.
The funniest part about that too is when I started. You're okay, buddy. When I had started doing that show, like I genuinely didn't know any of them, and I didn't know even that any of them were like social media people or YouTubers or whatever else. For me, it was like kind of nice, and they're great actors. So it was just you're just working with people that you just think are great actors, and I found out about it like probably a week or two in. But it wasn't it wasn't one of those things where you're like, oh, like they're casting like a social media person in this role that can't act or something. Like I never had that reaction because I didn't even know to begin with, and they were just killing it. So
they were all awesome.
It wasn't until after that I knew that. And then it was like just interesting kind of picking their brains about that world and like what that's even like, because came from traditional media, and so I didn't even know after seeing it, you're like, you have a newfound respect for it. And you know, it's a lot of work that people don't realize.
Yeah, like I noticed Gabriel Conte right away. I was like, oh, I know this guy. Well, that's pretty cool. Now you're in the turf.
Gabe's hilarious too. He's so funny. He's fun to work with on set. He's good at improvising. He's a blast. We became really close in that. And now we both live in the same town, which is so crazy.
I love that. I love that. And you got married March 8th, 2020. And a lot of your Julie cast was in attendance. We saw a few clips from the wedding where they were there. Any fun stories you'd like to... I know you like wine, but let's spill a little bit of tea. All right. Any fun stories from the wedding that you'd like to share?
It was awesome. I don't even... It's such a blur when you're going through it as being the person that's having the wedding. Like, you're just running around and being wherever you need to be at that given moment. I didn't feel like it was stressful, though. I think a lot of people have, like, oh, like, we enjoyed our wedding, like, the least out of everyone there because we had to do X, Y, and Z. Like, no, like, we had a blast. I loved my wedding. It was so fun. It was so cool, like, getting to see all these people from our different parts of life kind of together in one place for one little hoorah. And there's people that we invited that, like, even like Kenny, for instance, like we invited out of like respect because I was so thankful and I love him and just as a friend. And like, I wasn't expecting him to come, honestly. Like, I was like, he's probably got other stuff going on, you know, like, but I wanted to invite him. And then he showed up and I was like, this is so cool. I think one of my favorite things was seeing Kenny just tear it up on the dance floor. And it was just so crazy, like seeing this legend at our wedding tearing it up on the dance floor. Kenny is literally like 70 years old now, but is young and energetic as someone 30 to 40 years younger.
Yeah,
and it's so crazy seeing that just youthful energy in him. And he just got everybody on the dance floor. And then at that point it was a party and it was so fun. I think one of my other favorite moments is just definitely Carolyn walking down the aisle. We even did a first look before. We did all of our photos before that. But even then, it's just, I think that's the crazy thing about weddings is, you know, you've done the rehearsal, you've done all this stuff. But still, for whatever reason, like the second, you know, she walks down the aisle, it's like, oh my gosh, just suddenly becomes so much more real.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was bawling. I was a mess for a good minute there, and I had to pull myself together.
I mean, but it was beautiful. From the wedding videos was absolutely I had like major mofo when I saw FOMO. Watching you guys do like dirty dancing lift. I was
major
like,
mofo.
I was like, that's a party right there. That's a party.
It was
a party.
Charlie and Owen, we recreated our little dirty dancing move
from the show.
I think that's in one of the videos.
Yeah. I love that. And did your dance training, dance boot camp, help at all for the wedding?
Not really, because my style of dance is dorky and is not professional, and I'm not great at dancing, shall we say. So, you know, I think my moves are horrible, but I try and own them, and that's what makes it fun.
You got some Chandler Bing in you, and that I respect.
Oh, 100%. Totally. Yeah. I got some Chandler Bing, and Carolyn has definitely some Monica. She's a tidy, clean freak.
But it works so well. It works so well.
So I think one of our... We had little cards at our wedding that were like inside jokes and stuff. And one of them was like, you're the Monica to my Chandler or vice versa. So it's always funny.
I love that. We have a very deep love for friends here over here. And I know you guys do too with your sweaters, which I looked up on Target and could not find. That was the biggest disappointment of my holiday season.
Sucks.
I mean, we don't have a Target here. So I was like, ah, oh, man. All right. It's fine. I'll take it. But you've been doing acting for so long. Is there like any characters or things that you're just like, I've never gotten to do that and I would love to do it? Cause you've done like voice acting for so long. You did Voltron, you know, a lot of, you know, TV series, kind of did everything. Actually, you've done what most actors will do through their entire career, and you're only 24. Do you ever look back and you're just like, ah, oh, man, I want this to be next. I want to do that next.
Short answer to that question, I never know what I want next because I never know what opportunities are going to be
right.
next. And I think that's been a huge testament even in the past like 2 years. I mean, the things that I've had the most fun working on that have been so beneficial and the most cool for me. Buddy, I just took you potty like 20 minutes ago. Chill. were always things that I would have never thought were something that was going to happen or even exist.
Right.
You know, like Julie and the Phantoms, like, it's not like this hugely known property that was like something like a Star Wars or something that everyone's like, oh, I would love to work on that.
Right.
Like, but now coming out of it, like, I'm so glad, and to me it feels as epic as some of those things, you know? And so that's what's cool about it. But, you know, it's like the little 5-year-old deep inside me, you know, the nerd inside, like, I would love to be, like I just mentioned, stop it, it's okay. I would love to be in some type of comic book property.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, I love, like anything like in the Marvel realm or even DC. I mean, DC or Marvel, either one. Like, I love all those storylines. I love that type of feel. It's just so fun. The big popcorn, you know, either that or, yeah, I think like that. I think one that's like more niche and nerdy is if they ever made like a live action version of Attack on Titan, I'd love to be one of those characters because I love that show.
Oh, yes.
I love the manga and the anime, either or. But so, yeah, that'd be cool.
I mean, I could totally see Marvel. That's what I always say. I'm like, now that Marvel is like really expanding the way that they are with like Disney Plus coming in, Wanda and Vision, just saw that. Incredible. I can't wait for them to do more. I could totally see you doing that. Come on. Come on.
That'd be epic. That'd be so fun.
So you are in a band called Make Out Monday, and now you released your first EP, Mad Love, back in December. How quickly can people expect the album? How people...
Good question. I'm not sure. Long story short, I am currently writing it. I've actually written... I think probably 10 or 11 songs right now. Those probably all won't actually end up being on there, but that's what I've been working on very hardly recently. And so, dude, stop. So I don't know when that'll come out. It takes a lot to do an album. So if I was being, let's say, conservative with best guesstimate, it would probably not be until early, like spring next year. but that said, my goal is to record whether it not be the whole thing, but at least a few songs that'll probably be like the singles from it. And probably release like a couple singles throughout this year just to have some content coming out and tide the fans over until there's a bigger release. So I think probably the goal is to have like two or three singles over the next few months and then get out a bigger body of work, I think, early next year. So if all goes according to like my very vague plan, then that would be a the goal. But people have really been enjoying the stuff, and so I'm stoked on that. We're, I think, going to try and do a music video for one of the songs around release it around Valentine's Day, around the same time that we're going to hopefully do like a merch drop that's kind of like Mad Love related stuff.
Get excited.
So hopefully that'll happen. Yeah, just trying to pull that all together, but the fan response has been great. I'm so thankful. And it's just it's been so fun doing my own music and writing it and just kind of doing it by myself. And it feels more like a fun passion project, or almost like a just escapism hobby, than like something that's like work, which I think I love so much.
Right. Well, I love your music. We'll wrap it up with the last little question, which is basically just a yes or no question. So we do After Dark episodes on the podcast. We did one with Savannah and Tori, which actually kind of blew up everywhere because people like the like off the cuff, like no business questions at all. And I did a Q&A on the podcast Instagram a while back when I was like, oh, what would be an After Dark episode you'd like to do? And I called. I was like, I want to get the three Sunset Curve guys, and let's have a night of like truth or drink or something like that. And if it's not like alcohol, it could be like, I don't know, soy sauce or like Tabasco sauce or something.
Well, you might be in luck, because there's a without giving away too much, we might possibly all three be in the same room like
next week,
very soon. Yes, so I would be down for it. I think the guys would be too. I think it'd be fun,
because that would be pretty dope.
That'd be awesome. That'd be
dope. Well, that was it for the episode for today. Jeremy has to go pick up the lady, Carolyn Shada, who is currently, I think, working. So this has been our episode of Sunset Drive. I am Anthony Smith.
I'm Jeremy Shada.
Hey, this has been Sunset Drive.